Feast of the Transfiguration, I think, is largely misunderstood, and because of that, not appreciated and not regarded as an important thing as it is. Our Lord was finishing his Galilean ministry, and it talks about later in the scripture how when he left the Mount Tabor, where he was transfigured, he turned his head towards Jerusalem. This is the beginning of his Judean ministry and the point where he, as he faced Jerusalem, of course, he saw his upcoming deceased. And I've always wondered at what point he learned how all this would end, how it would end, what would happen. His mother, you wonder how his mother Mary would have thought, you know, at what point would she have known these things were going to end. But when you read the gospel, talk about his raiment was white and glistening. When you read about Moses, when he came down, he had to cover his face, put on a mask, I guess, of some sort. Because he was in the presence of God. And at the transfiguration, with Moses at one side and Elijah on the other side, the law and the prophets were there with our Lord. And he presented himself in white and glistening. The New Testament, of course, the New Covenant. And they didn't cover their face, and yet the cloud hit him, and then he spoke from out of the cloud. I have a reading here from, these are, I think, all as good. It's the book that I use a lot, from the Fathers of the Church's Daily Spiritual Readings. A lot of these are Anti-Nicene Fathers, Desert Fathers, a lot of the ancient Fathers. This one happens to be from Anastasius of Sinai on the Feast of the Transfiguration. It is good for us to be here, as St. Peter said. Jesus revealed this mystery to his disciples on Mount Tabor. In their company he had spoken of the kingdom of his second coming in glory, but perhaps they remained uncertain about the kingdom which he had announced. Now to lead them to firm and profound faith and draw them by means of present events to belief in things to come, he manifested himself in glory on Mount Tabor, giving them a divine revelation, a foreshadowing of the kingdom of heaven. It was as if he said, so that you may not fall into disbelief as time goes by. Now at this moment, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in the glory of his Father. To show that it was well within Christ's power to do what he willed, the evangelist says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up in a high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light, glistering and white. Behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. These are the miracles of our present feast. This is the mystery which is now accomplished on the mountain for our salvation. For it is this celebration, this feast of Christ, which has brought us together here today. It's an important point. Things like this, we come together to celebrate. In order to penetrate into the heart of these awe-inspiring mysteries with the disciples whom our Lord chose, let us listen to the holy voice of God, which summons us from high, from the mountaintop. There we must hasten. I make bold to say, like Jesus, who is our leader and has gone before us into heaven, there with him may the eyes of our mind shine with his light and the features of our soul be made new. May we be transfigured with him and molded to his image, ever becoming divine, being transformed in an ever greater degree of glory. Let us run there eager and joyful, and let us be enveloped in the cloud like Moses and Elijah, or James and John. Be like Peter, wrapped with the divine vision, transfigured by the glory of the transfiguration, lifted high above the things of this world. Let us leave the flesh and creation behind and turn to the Creator, to whom Peter in Exodus said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Yes, indeed, Peter, it is good for us to be here with Jesus and to remain here forever. What is more blessed, what more sublime, what more exalted than to be with God, to be shaped to his likeness, to dwell in the light, since each of us has God within him and is transformed into his divine image. Let us cry out in joy. It is good for us to be here, for here all is light and joy and happiness and bliss. Here the heart is at rest, in peace, serene. Here we behold our Christ. Here he comes to dwell with the Father. As he enters, he says, today salvation has been brought to this house. Here with Christ are the countless treasures of eternal blessings. Here are the beginnings of the age to come. Here we see it reflected as in a mirror. The writings of Saint Athanasius of Sinai. You know, I think of myself like Peter, the one who spoke before he thought. And Peter did that at this occasion. But our Jesus could see through all that, like he sees through all that, you know, our clutter, our junk, and finds the real heart that's fixed on him. That heart that is transfigured because of love of our Lord. With all the warts and bumps and bruises, he sees through that. So we might tend to say, St. Peter, you're impulsive. Well, I was well named, I'm impulsive sometimes too. But Christ knew his heart. You know, imagine being there and our Lord's standing there and they don't quite know what's going to happen. And they fell asleep in the beginning of ecstasy. And they woke up and they see Jesus. Moses on one side, Elijah on the other side. All the summation of the law and the prophets, and Jesus standing with them. So why wouldn't St. Peter? So let's make three tabernacles. I think his biggest mistake, that the real tabernacle was Jesus Christ himself. And so I think that was the impulsiveness that our Lord saw, but I don't think he said anything, you know, he said Peter, calm down, or something like that. I don't know, but it just—I think it's our faith should be like Peter. It should be impulsive in a sense where we just, yes, we love you, Jesus. You know, so that impulse, but then have it filtered down by studying to show ourselves approved, by coming to church. A lot of people say, "Oh, well, you know, like, bless the Lord, be blessed today, and all that." Some of that sounds a little superficial. I think what is superficial becomes real to us when we come and participate in church together, and in particular, to take the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we can have that right kind of ecstasy, that God deigned to be with us after our Lord ascended and is sitting on the right hand of God, interceding for us, said before his last night on this earth, this is my body and this is my blood. It comes back to us to nourish us, to save us, to reinforce our salvation. Always remember that we were saved through baptism and faith. We're being saved as we participate in the church's life and her sacraments. And we will be saved ultimately if we lean not unto our own understanding, but into his finished work on Calvary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.